Thank you, Mrs. Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke, chapter number 10. God is good, is he not? Amen. I believe it'll go well with the message this morning. I do believe that for so many times in our lives, this is something that we're commanded to do, is to rejoice. Amen. Sunday night, we went through some things in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and just took some time. And, you know, time doesn't allow us always to go through the things in detail, and that God kind of gives us a command really on what will help us live the Christian life to its fullest. But he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, we use the terminology, and we didn't spend a lot of time there, but we just moved through it talking about it as something that we could add to our faith and add to our Christian life, but rejoice evermore. Sometimes we think about that, and how is that even possible? And a lot of it is because of our focus. You know, the song was sung about the goodness of God, and God is so good. And if he had our focus, we would never cease to rejoice evermore. It is when other things get our focus and take our focus away from things. And sometimes, just to be honest with you, it's not always evil things that steals our focus. Now, here we find in the passage in Luke chapter number 10, the Lord Jesus has sent out the 70. And he sends them out with a purpose to work for him, but they come back and they come rejoicing, but rejoicing about the wrong thing. And I think for each and every one of us, you know, we desire and we want to please the Lord. And we can oftentimes find ourselves rejoicing in something that God has brought into our lives or things that we want. But the one that will keep us rejoicing evermore is some of the eternal things. You know, sometimes we rejoice over things that are so temporal. They're so fleeting. And then we wonder why we want God. God has to do it again for us. For us to have joy or to rejoice. And we ought to be not a roller coaster Christian, going from high point to high point in our Christian life. And when God does something for me, I'm going to be faithful or I'm going to rejoice. And then when I'm in the low, I need God to do something for me and get me back on the top to be able to rejoice again. We ought to be living above all the emotions of this life and living for him and rejoicing for what he's already done. And so here in the scripture this morning, I went for the tape room for everyone, knowing how to rejoice. Knowing how to rejoice is the title of the message. Let's pray together and we'll begin in Luke chapter number 10. Dear God, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I pray that again this morning that you would do a work in our midst, God. I pray that you would use me as your messenger boy to preach to your church the unsearchable riches that can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there are people here this morning that do not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would do what I can't do. He would draw them to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. If there's folks here that need to go forward and be able to rejoice in baptism and showing the world that they've been saved, and maybe others that need to just join this good church because they've been obedient in baptism, Lord, I pray that you would draw men to do what you want them to do. I pray today that you'd save the lost, that you'd redeem the sinner, Lord, and that today that Christians would leave this place knowing how to rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter number 10, if you would begin reading with me, we know the Lord has sent out the 70 in the early part of the book, and now he has had them return. If I could just, before we begin reading, just kind of remind you of some things. In the early part of the chapter, if you take time to read it, we're not going to today, but in the very first couple of verses, we realize that there is a precedent set by the Lord Jesus Christ that when people go out to witness about him, they go two by two. Doesn't mean you can't be a singular witness. Doesn't mean that you can't stop and share someone a tract or be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we send folks out, there is a reason the Lord set a precedent to sending them out by two. Especially in the day and age that we live in, you don't know who's watching or who's going to say what about you. So you better be careful if you're going to go knocking doors and witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to take somebody with you. It would just be good. It's worthy to just say it's good to have a silent partner standing and praying for you while you witness at the door. But also not only praying for you, but witnessing what's happened at the door.
Yes. Amen.
Amen and amen. That's God's plan. We've come so far. We've even had folks say that what we do, and I'm just trying to help you this morning before we get deep into it, that God's plan that Jesus set forth through and in his church doesn't work anymore. What is so mind-boggling to me is this is how Jesus told us to do it. This is how he practiced it with his church. And now we got a group of people saying that was for their time and it doesn't work in our age anymore. The problem is we don't work it anymore. We don't work it like he said. If we do go, we don't go two by two. Here he sends 70, 35 pairs of people go out, and we wonder why they were able to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, if you take 35 pairs of anybody going out and knocking doors and telling people about Jesus, something is going to change. Something's going to happen in your town. You say, well, I can't get up and down, but maybe you can pray. We have folks, when our men go out, they stay here and pray for them while they're out because they can't walk the streets anymore, but they can pray. You say, preacher, why are you getting on this? Because I really believe the reason America has not been changed is because they don't know the gospel anymore. We've had so many people move into Haines City when I was in Bible college here, and we were still practicing going two by two. I would knock doors in our town here close to our church and then even farther away from our church. But in Haines City, we would knock doors and people would say, I know that church. I know that pastor. I know that group of people. Do you know what happens now when I knock the doors in our town? Where's that church at? And there's two reasons for that. Some of it is because the whole town is turned over almost. Brand new folks. People have passed away and their house has been sold to someone that moved in, or new houses have been built and people have moved into our town. And it's because we haven't covered them all. There's a lot more houses to cover than there ever was before. And listen, I'm encouraged that they don't immediately reject the gospel when I'm there. But I'm disturbed sometimes when I knock the door and they have no idea. They've never heard of the Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida. And I say, it's just down the road. You pass it every day when you go down Henson Avenue. Hey, folks, you know why Jesus sent folks out? Because folks don't just come. See, we have this mentality, this Calvinistic mentality in the day and age we live in, that we have this big steeple and this big building, so naturally people will come into it. They will wander here. Okay? Now, maybe on Christmas and Easter. But for the most part, folks, people don't just stop at a church. You know, most people drive by and they look at the parking lot full or the big building and they think we're a club that they're not welcome to. They think we're some group of people and that they've got to do some kind of initiation dance to get in. They have no idea what they'd have to do if they walked in the doors. And the only way most people will come and visit the church is if they know they're welcome and that a member has invited them to come. You would be welcome there and you can sit with me. Can you imagine being a person for the very first time walking in the back doors of this place or walking in any door? Because they don't really know which door to come into when they come up on the property. And what do they desperately need if they do? If they are one of those folks that wanders in, they need somebody to welcome them. We're so glad you came. Come sit with me. You know, I think sometimes we miss the fact that just the basic things. Do you know Jesus is trying to take his disciples back to the basics in here? I mean, this is some simple stuff. He sends them out again, the Bible says. So this isn't the first time they've gone. And when they return, they come back this time excited about something they had never been excited about before. Not the way they were before. See, before they knew they were going out and being a witness of Jesus Christ. Do you know really their whole message was repent because the kingdom is at hand? They're telling people you better tighten up because we're transitioning into another age. The Messiah who has been predicted all these ages is here. Can you imagine being able to walk down the street and tell them Jesus is going to be at church this Sunday? And you better show up. I mean, that's what they were saying. They're saying, hey, the one that you've heard predicted from every age is here. Why don't you come and listen to him preach? Why don't you show up and come down and hear him? Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, they had an encouraging message, and they come back and they don't say, Lord, there are so many people that gave me a promise that they'd be here on Saturday. Because they worshiped on Saturday. Because they were Jews. But I mean, they were excited. They came back and they're going to tell him, we cast out devils. We threw them out. Do you know Jesus was more interested in what people were getting in than what they were getting out? Do you know as Christians, sometimes we get more excited when somebody that gets saved starts getting stuff out of their life than we are that they got new life? When did that happen to us? When did we turn the page of being Pharisaical to the place that we rejoice more when a man with long hair cuts his hair than when he walked the aisle and got saved? When is it that we got so excited that we get excited when a man quits smoking or quits something that we know that he ought not been doing as a Christian? We get more excited about that than when he got redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Boy, we ought to rejoice. Heaven, you know, the Bible doesn't say, boy, heaven rejoices when somebody quits smoking. Heaven rejoices when they cut their hair. Heaven rejoices when they get, listen, I'm telling you, it's something we ought to do. When they dress right and act right, all these different things. Heaven rejoices when people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and they pass from death unto life. The other things are things that they do to help them and be a witness for the King. But listen, our job, our purpose, the reason we were left behind was to be a witness of the Savior. We ought to get excited. Listen, folks, you know one of the things that is missing today is us being excited about when we got redeemed. You know, most people lose their fire when they forget that they had to get saved. That's when we get excited about people cleaning up instead of getting saved. Because we want them to look just like us instead of them getting saved and not being someone who's headed to hell, but somebody who is headed to heaven. Look at the scripture with me. In verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I don't know if you missed that, but I mean, that got me excited when I read this. You know, and I'm sure they were excited. But then Jesus is going to rebuke them a little bit over it. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. It's just a factual statement. It's just what I did so that you could be a witness. These are things I gave you power over so that you could tell them about me. You do realize two things can't occupy the same space. A person full of the devil can't be full of Jesus Christ as well. And so they went out to cast out devils that they might be able to accept Jesus Christ and have him in their life. Don't rejoice that the devils left their body. Rejoice when they receive Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says here, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know, the Lord Jesus stops and rejoices that their names were written in the book. He stops and thanks God of heaven that these folks
that were really, he said it wasn't the wise and the prudent and all the people who were really, searching and studying, but to babes. The simple people in this world, boy, they just called it. They realized that I was the Messiah. You know, that there were still a bunch of people who were students of the law, the Pharisees that were wondering. They're going to ask him plainly, art thou the Son of God? They're going to ask him all kinds of things, and he'll say to them, thou hast said. He's going to be asked by everybody along the way, are you the Messiah? But there were some, he says, who do you think I am? He asked Peter plainly, who do men say that I am? Peter answers a question for the Lord Jesus, and he goes through the list of things, the people that other people think he might be. But he says, I believe thou art the very Son of God. Hey, folks, you know what matters? What you believe. It matters what you believe about Jesus, because it determines your eternal destiny. And that's something to rejoice in. You know, from a child, I've been taught things, and I've been taught and taught. But I tell you, I thank God there was a day that it was revealed to me. As a simple, just as simple as I could be, boy, I remember the day that I realized it wasn't just, I don't remember a time as a child that I did not believe that Jesus was the very Son of God. But I remember the day that I realized that it wasn't just I had to believe that or know that, but I had to make that mine. It had to become personal to me. He wasn't just the Savior of the world. He needed to be my Savior. Do you know, I believe that we live in a day and age where so many people are religious. They know about Jesus, and they would say amen to the fact that he came from heaven and that he died on a cross and that he rose again, but they've never had a personal time that they accepted him as their Savior. They never bowed their head and humbled their heart as a small child and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you realize that is what must be done for a man or a woman, boy, child, anybody? There's only two genders, but anybody to get saved. Every one of us have to come to a place where we accept the Savior. And it's a starting point for us in our lives to not only be able to know how to rejoice, but what to stay simple and rejoice in. You know, I think sometimes we rejoice. Many of us, we get more excited about God giving us a car, God giving us a house, God giving us a prayer request that was answered, than simply realizing that something that can never be altered or changed. Even if somebody gave me a car, I could wreck it. If somebody gave me money, I could spend it. If somebody gave me, you could go through the list of good things that you could have, but there's one thing. There's a gift that came from heaven that died on Calvary for me, and once I accepted him, I'm here to tell you this morning, nothing could ever take it away. Nothing could ever change. It's written in the blood of my Savior, penned down in the book of life, and I know that I know that I know that I'm going to go to heaven because of what he did and where it's written. It's forever settled in heaven. This book is a powerful book, but there's another book that holds my name, and it's not because of what I did, but because of what he did. And listen, this morning, it doesn't matter how low I feel. It doesn't matter what my bank account has in it. It doesn't matter whether my kids are doing right or whether my kids are doing wrong. I can rejoice evermore because my name is written in the book. Hey, I don't know about you, but sometimes we get down. Sometimes we get low because we forget the simple thing that, if everything else goes wrong, this one thing has gone right for me. Even though this life may not be what I thought or planned it to be, there's a life coming. And I'm going to be there, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. Not because of who I am, but because my name has been written. My name has been penned down. Folks, I don't know about you, but that gets me so encouraged. Do you know every morning when I wake up and I begin to wake up in the morning and realize that I don't deserve to be saved. That I was a sinner lost and bound for hell, but God sent his Son from heaven to die for me. You know, it's hard to be sad. It's hard to cry in my Cheerios first thing in the morning. Now, I can realize that the rest of the day, there's a lot of things I have to face. I can realize that there are problems in this life. There are problems because there's people. Right? I'm just going to be honest with you. You know. Hey, folks, but I can face all those things because I know whose I am. I can wake up and grab strength because I can rejoice evermore. How is it that I can face folks and be excited about life? Because this isn't the only life I'm going to live. You know, Jesus is speaking to, think about what he says to his disciples here. He says to them, I gave you all this power. He said, right at the beginning, he goes, listen, you haven't seen anything. You saw some demons and some devils. And I mean, he's talking little ones. He said, I watched my father throw Satan out on his ear. I mean, think about this. The people that everybody's scared about, all the people in religion talk about, don't look at him and don't be scared about him. All the things, they thought they were bad dudes and they had been given a lot of power. He said, I stood and I watched Satan get drug out to the edge of heaven by his ear, and God cast him down to the earth like lightning. That's what Jesus said. If you wanted to brag on something, there's something to brag on. That the one who rules over all the demons and the devils, the one who they think is a bad dude, God already drug him out and threw him out. And then, think about this. That one that struggles to stop the cause of Christ, the one who decided he was going to ascend on top of the throne. Think about that. If you ever had anything to worry about, listen, it all the way back in time, when Satan decided he was going to take God's place, when he decided that, God, listen, it doesn't even say he acted upon it. God knew that he said it in his heart. And God took action. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. There's not any time I got to worry about a mutiny in heaven ever taking over. Nobody's ever going to overthrow my God. No one's ever going to burn the book. No one's ever going to take over in heaven. Nothing's ever going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's where how powerful my book that's been my name is signed in it. I'm not going to be forgotten. He's not going to just stop by and say, you know what? I got everybody but so-and-so. He's not like a Santa Claus that's going to go by and give you coal because you didn't do good. Your name is written in the book. He's God. God Almighty, he's thrown the satanic head of all this earth and all these different cults. He threw him out on his ear. He said, you got a little bit of power and you threw a couple people out, but I watched Satan himself be thrown out of heaven. That encourages me because I realize that my salvation, once given to me by Almighty God, is untouchable by Satan and his hordes. It's untouchable. I can't even change my destination because I didn't do anything to get it. I just want to remind you how good God is. You realize that God came from heaven. God chose me. Boy, I can't get over Ephesians chapter 1, how Paul just wanted to write to the church at Ephesus and let them know that God chose them before the foundation of the world. Long before, while you were lost in your sins, God the Father desired to redeem you back into himself, and he sent his only begotten Son from heaven to come from heaven to die on Calvary and to rise again so that you might have life. He didn't do that for himself. He didn't do that so he could prove that he was strong. He had nothing left to prove. He came to die in your place so that you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. He took your place so that he could redeem you back into himself, that you might have your name written in heaven. That you might be able, think about this, that you might be able to complete the task commanded from heaven to rejoice evermore. I couldn't do that if I wasn't saved. I couldn't do that if I didn't have the Spirit. Think about this. He not only, listen, rejoice because you're saved. Your name's written down. Think about these guys. These guys are told to rejoice because their name's written in heaven. Do you know that Jesus had not died for them yet? He hadn't died on the cross yet. He's headed to the cross. This is just one jumping off spot of rejoicing. But I mean, for you and I, we can rejoice in the precious blood of the Lamb that only had to be spilt once for every one of us, had to be shed on Calvary and placed upon the mercy seat. That gets me excited. I get excited that the blood's been shed for me. They thought it was. They didn't even really know all that was going to happen. Those guys were so much babes, they're just like the rest of us, oblivious. They knew he had come, but they didn't know the rest of it. They wanted him to stay and to build his kingdom. Little did they know that he was going to die for them and pay for their way into heaven. They just had a jumping off spot. Listen, you can rejoice because the blood has been applied. If you're saved here today, your name is written in, you can rejoice because the blood has been applied to your sins and it's gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Hey, you can rejoice this morning, not only that, but because you've received the Spirit. You realize these guys didn't even have the Spirit of God in them. They had to wait. Boy, they had a time period. They had to wait, and they went up in the upper room. After Jesus had gone, he said, I will send a comforter back unto you in the book of John. And they gathered together, and they prayed and waited in a place. And boy, man, woo, that swirl, and it sounded like they looked up and said, what's going on? I see no wind, but I hear it. And then all of a sudden, if you didn't get freaked out by wind blowing around and it really ain't blowing, the Bible says tongues, fiery tongues, cloven tongues, that like a serpent tongue. Listen, one of the weirdest thing about a serpent anyway is his tongue sticking out all the time. You know, I get offended. You know, there is no snake that I like, okay? Now, if you're a snake lover in here, okay, I do not want to offend you, but the only good snake's a dead snake. Because even if they're not poisonous, they will make me hurt myself trying to get away from them. But, I mean, think about being in a room where tongues are on fire and they're cloven and they're all around and they're resting on their heads, okay? That would freak me out. That would, like, you know, what happened to me? You know what happened? I got saved. In this New Testament age, there was no cloven tongues of fire. No wind whipped through the building. I fell on my face before God. And when I got up, I had the Spirit of God living inside of me. Just like that, it happened. I didn't need nobody to walk down and it jumped from one person to the other. I didn't need some weird thing. I didn't have to speak in tongues to tell everybody that I was saved and on my way to heaven. I got up with all of the Holy Ghost I was ever going to get. And I've still been trying to let him have all of me. Hey folks, I don't know about you, but it was exciting the day I got saved. I got something that the rest of the world don't have. The Holy Spirit indwelt me and came into me. There's something I can rejoice about now that God moved in, and now I've got a power that I never had before to rejoice evermore. You know, they had just their name written in the book. They didn't have all the things we had. Think about this. You're being sanctified by the word. Do you know these men were going to have to, they were going to get inspired. They were going to get inspiration from God and pen down the very words of life in this book. They only had pieces of it. I have the very word of God in my hand. Do you know this book is a book to help sanctify me on a daily basis? All of what God did on the inside, he wants to do on the outside if I let him through his word. He'll want it to come out from the inside out so that I might be a better witness for him. See, we rejoice about all those things, but listen, think about it. How many days? Listen, my name is written in the book, but God wrote a book for me. He wrote me a guidebook to live my life. He left me something. I mean, listen, do you know how many people would want to have a book to be able to know how to live right? And we have one, and many times we don't read it. And if we do read it, we don't like what it says, so we don't practice it. And God's given it to us. He wants us to be sanctified through his word. Folks, I'm just going to challenge you this morning. Listen, I don't know when the last time you rejoiced that you had every word that God wanted you to have. But that's something to rejoice in. Not just that your name, listen, your name's written in the book, but we have something to rejoice about this morning. We have God's very words in the King James Bible. What a blessing, amen. Think about this. You that were separated from the world. You know these men, the one thing they had that we have, that Jesus had called them out of the world. The word ecclesia, I mean, you know, I'm not much into the Greek, but the very word just means to be in a called out assembly. A body that's not like the old body was. We were a part of the world, and Jesus called us out of the world to be a part of his body, the church. Do you realize what you have today, what you're sitting in? If you're a member of the Landmark Baptist Church or any church, I'm just thinking about a church that believes and practices the doctrines of the Word of God. A Baptist church? Amen. Do you know what you got when you got that? God came from heaven and began an institution, is what the world thinks. You know, institutions can go to pieces. Jesus started an organism with people that lives on in you and I today, and it's called His church. And for you and I, we can get excited and rejoice evermore because I have a place where I go to a place where other people who have their name written in the book of life meet with me on a weekly basis. And I can get excited that I'm not the only one. Listen, we can gather together and He wants to send us out two by two. Listen, if you went to a church without walls and you weren't sure who the other believers are, how are you going to go out two by two? Who's going to send you out from that? That's why it don't work anymore for all these other folks that aren't practicing anymore. It's a sad day when we get to the place where we forget how good we got it that God gave us a church. You know, for many of you, I don't know how much you appreciate this place, and I know my time is fleeting. I just want you to understand this. I rejoice evermore because I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and that is because of the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about where I'll spend eternity. I'm thankful that not only do I rejoice on a daily basis that I've been born again, and that I know that the Spirit of God indwells me, and that I can yield myself to Him and He can use me for the service of the King. I'm thankful that I know I have His Word, that it's come from heaven, and I have it in print. And it's not only in print, but it's in English, so I could read it today. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that this book has been preserved because God said He would preserve it. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm thankful for His church. My whole life is bound up in the church. I'm just going to tell you, every good thing that's ever happened to me in my life, I'm just going to tell you, I got saved in a church. I got baptized into the church. When my family really started to become a family, it's when my family got saved and took me to church. The moments I remember that are special in my life all happened in my church. My life has been changed by the church of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you how precious it is to me. Can I tell you what keeps me in Florida? It ain't the heat. It sure ain't a beautiful town. Not that Haines City isn't beautiful. It's a church. Amen. It's the other believers that I love, and we bound together to fulfill the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, Brother Scott, I say it all the time. There ain't no place like this place, anywhere near this place. So this must be the place. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, we have something to rejoice in. Jesus gathered a group of men together, and something that had never happened before happened. He gave us an organism called the church. He knew that we would throughout the ages need to gather together and assemble ourselves, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Today, I can rejoice evermore because as I gather together, as I read His Word, I recognize the day approaches when Jesus will return for His church. He'll catch us away. And I not only rejoice that my name is written down, but the day is getting closer to when my name will be read off the roll.
Yes. Amen.
The old song, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You know, that's an old song talking about our names being written in the book of life. And listen, I don't know who's going to read it because they must be a speed reader because the Bible says in the twinkle of an eye. I don't know if they just got that many angels and they got everybody's name spread out. And at that moment, you know, we hear the trumpet sound. But I don't know that that song is absolutely the roll is going to be called. But I know one name will be missed.
Yes. Amen.
I'm excited today. Listen, my question to the group that's here today is, number one, do you know for sure that your name is written in heaven? Do you know your name is on the roll? Listen, if I was here this morning and heard a preacher preach this message, I would want to make sure before I left this building that my name was written in the book of life. And the only way you can know that is to have accepted Jesus as your Savior. To know for sure that your name's written down, you have to accept His finished work of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection on Calvary, that He rose again, and that you have made Him your personal Savior. You got to have that. And then you can know your name was penned in the book of life. I would say this, number two, if I was here this morning and heard this message preached, I'd wonder inside myself, maybe you have already questioned, what do I rejoice in? What do I get excited about and thank God for on a daily basis? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. When I contemplated this for myself, there is not a day that goes by that I don't thank God for the family that He's given me. Knowing what I would preach this morning, I laid my head down on the pillow. And when I awoke this morning, I began to pray like I always do for the things of the day. And I began to give thanks to God for what He's done for me. But one of the things that it's been a long time since I added to my list was thank You for saving me. Thank You that my name is written down. You know, I have it so sure, sometimes I forget to thank Him for it. And it changes everything when I start there. When I start, I remember who I used to be and just how much He had to do to change me to be what I am today. Hey, folks, I'm just encouraging you today. Boy, rejoice evermore that your name is written in the book. And if you start rejoicing evermore there, listen, look, I rejoice for my family. And then I didn't just rejoice the ones God gave me. I started to go through them and rejoice for when they got saved. And that Jesus had saved my family. Well, what a crazy life it would be if I had kids in my own home that didn't know that Jesus was their Savior. How burdened I would be for my mom and my daddy if I didn't know that they were saved. Boy, that would burden my heart. And I would not just rejoice. I would beg God for their salvation. Folks, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you, hey, more so, if you got somebody that's close to you that doesn't know Christ, don't worry about why is it that we worry about what they'll think or how crazy we'll be? Boy, if we really rejoice in what we have, we wouldn't worry what they think. We would just be a witness. You say, I don't want them to think I'm crazy. They'll think you're crazy because you don't witness, because you go to church and you live for God and you do all these things and you don't think it's important that they have it too. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today, the way to rejoice evermore is to realize your name is written in heaven. Jesus says this. I want you to see this. He says in verse 23, and He turned unto His disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. Do you know, He goes into a thing, and I thought about how privileged I am. These guys had a time frame that all the people in the past had desired to see the Messiah. But you know, there's also written in this book that there's people that desired to see the church age, to see a time of grace and the Spirit of God working through people to draw men unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There's ages in the past that would love to have lived in our time period looking for the return of Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful that our eyes get to see this time period. Sometimes we think, boy, this age is evil, and it's no. It's an age of hope. It's an age of being able to preach that Jesus is coming back. It's an age of being able to preach that they can be redeemed by His blood. It's an age to be excited to realize that Jesus is returning and coming for His children. It's an age for us to realize, just look around and see what God is doing. But rejoice in what God's already done. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but this morning I've been touched by the Word of God. Because it changed, I realize that I'm not the same as I used to be. That something has come in and changed me, and I don't ever want to get over it. I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't rejoice because my name is written in the book. If you're here this morning and your name isn't written in the book, why don't you get it written in there today? Why don't you come forward at the invitation, and we'll meet you in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that your name is penned in heaven, that Jesus as your Savior in heaven will be your home. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, as the musicians make their way this way, is there someone in the building that would slip their hand up and say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure my name is written in heaven, but I'd like to get that settled this morning. I'd like to know that for sure. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. I need that this morning. I need to have my name written in heaven. Is there anyone anywhere that would slip their hand up and recognize their need of being saved? Is there one that would slip their hand up? I want to pray for you this morning. Is there anyone? I don't see it. Hold it up. If you're holding it up, hold it up high where I could see it this morning. If you're like that and you can't raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. If you're here and you're saved and maybe it's been a while since you rejoiced in your salvation, why don't you come and tell God about it this morning? Just talk to him. Let's stand to our feet. I'll pray here. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning and I beg you for those. I didn't see any hands, but maybe they didn't raise them high enough, Lord. Maybe they couldn't raise their hand, but I pray, Holy Spirit of God, give them holy boldness to step out and come. Let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Maybe there's someone that's visiting and one of our people is near them. Help them to have boldness to speak to them about their salvation this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? Some have come, some are being dealt with this morning. Would you be in an attitude of prayer? And maybe you're here and you need to come. You know that you need to be saved. You know your name needs to be written down in the book of life. Why don't you step out and come? Everyone's head is bowed. No one's looking around. Why don't you step out? This is an invitation for you to step out and come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. As Brother Bert sings, you do as God's commanded you.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
While heads are bowed and folks are being dealt with this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ, boy, the message has really been about being able to rejoice because you know that you're on your way to heaven. If you are here this morning and you do not know that, this invitation is being held onto for you, giving you opportunity to step out and come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please don't pass it by. Please don't let it pass you by this morning. Brother Bert's going to sing another song, one more verse. Why don't you come now?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, of God I come. I come.
Amen. Amen. We're going to let you be seated. We have some things to share with you.